Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm sitting next to Jim Healy. Hi, Jim.
Good. You need to put my microphone on.
There you go. How's that?
I don't know. I can't hear myself.
You're on. You're there.
Am I going out over the airwaves?
I believe so.
Okay, well.
Somebody will tell us if you're
okay,
not.
I'm, okay. I'm quite sure. So now it's coming through.
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, Jack, from the fairgrounds, the Bonner County Fairgrounds. And it's a beautiful morning, and I'm sitting across from the one, the only, Kate McAllister. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
And it is a good morning. We're here at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And I am looking over at about 10 o'clock, and there, I think, is a chicken judging going on, because when I walked by there, they had like a little chicken spa, bouffant, whatever. They were washing them and cleaning whatever they have on their little clawed feet, and they were talking very quietly to them.
Chicken
and,
love.
Yeah, chicken love, and just great, and there's a big crowd out there, and I don't know whether they're... Oh, I see somebody bringing out a chicken. Oh, my good Lord.
Oh.
And what fun. I mean,
right?
You know, I mean, all when I think of chicken, I think at Super One or Yolks or Safeway. You know, I don't think crowds gather around and watch me purchase. But I just think it's great fun to see the children out here running around. There's no traffic.
Right.
It's just a fantastic celebration of, ooh, there's a pair of shorts I wouldn't want anybody to be seen in. ooh, it's way too early for those.
They'd look good on you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, Kate. But it's really marvelous. But, you know, when the show's over, go over and look at the chickens and how groomed they are.
Right,
I never thought that chickens could be so handsome with their feathers on.
Oh, yeah.
I have 7 chickens, and none of them look anything like the chickens that you see over there. they're pathetic.
You don't groom them? You don't groom them?
Not like that. No. No. We feed them. I think we treat them okay, but boy, they do something. They know what they're doing, I guess, over there, the 4-H kids. They're beautiful birds. Yeah.
Oh, what fun. Well, but it's a beautiful morning here, and it looks like the rest of the day might heat up a little bit.
Yep.
Do we have a weather, Jack?
I do. Yeah, where did I put that?
Don't know.
Here's the weather report. It is going to be a beautiful day, hopefully, although it could be a little hazy. It's going to be 91 degrees today.
Whoa.
Is the high.
Ouch.
Clear other than that haze. So no cloud cover, just some haze before 1 p.m. and then clearing up even more. Light and variable wind, mostly clear overnight, low down to 56. And tomorrow, a high of, 95 degrees.
Okay.
It's August, and increasing clouds.
Not for long.
Yeah. Increasing clouds, low of 62 overnight on Friday, cooling down on Saturday to the high again, only 90 degrees. But then we might get some rain on Saturday night. There's a 50% chance of showers.
We've heard that before.
I know.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll believe it when we see it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if we do get that rain, the high on Sunday is only 77 degrees. Quite a bit
cooler.
Oh, beating heart be still.
Yeah. and then 82, back to 82 on Monday, 86 on Tuesday, 83 on Wednesday. But 80s is not 90s. Could be worse.
Yeah, it's funny that we see 80 as acceptable when we're looking at it from 90.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
But when we're looking at it from Sunday's temperature, it's in the 70s.
Yeah.
80 is unforgivable.
That's
well,
right.
I'm sorry, Jim.
I mean.
Well, this is that time of year. There's a little less sun, you know, a little less hours of sunlight. And it gets, it takes, as you say, it takes all day to get to 80 degrees. And then it starts cooling back down.
And when do we... fall back.
I don't know.
No, that's not for a while. I hope.
And I thought there was something in Congress that they were going to get rid of that.
Yeah, they were going to get rid of that. And I never, you know, I guess the algae in the pool and the new helicopter pad has taken over the concern about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But anyway, it's you got to come down here. I mean, first of all, parking is for free. I mean, beating.
Yeah. Well, hold on. It is free right now. If you come early, it's free. At 10 o'clock, there's going to be people out there, and it's $7.
Oh, that's
But that's the only charge.
Oh, that's
it's free to come into the fair, walk around, see everything. Mm-hmm. You can also park for free at the LDS Church across the street.
Okay.
That parking lot is open, then you can walk over or park if the $7 is a little too steep.
Or come at 10 of 10.
There you go. Come just a little bit early.
You bet.
And you can get in. So, yeah, all the people who are here right now, like the people with animals and the
chickens,
and the judges and things, they're here without having to pay for parking, and then and they can stay all day if they want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, but it is $7, Jim.
I was going to give out some fake news.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I stand corrected. So what else is new before we talk with Anne.
Right.
What else is happening that we should know about?
Speaking of Anne, is we should get some of these people over here and just give them advice. They probably have problems. We should.
Anne, what do I do with my chicken? It won't go to sleep when it's supposed to, and it starts crowing at like 3 a.m.
Give your chicken its own bedroom.
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is new? You ask Jim. I don't know.
I went down to Coeur d'Alene yesterday morning for a doctor's appointment, and boy, is there a lot of traffic.
Oh.
You know, yep. I mean, I felt like when I was exiting, going down 95, getting out of Coeur d'Alene, like I was on an L.A. freeway.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, who are all these people?
I don't know. Where did they come from?
I think they have their county fair at this time, too. I think the Kootenai County Fair is going on this week, too. So that'll increase traffic a little bit.
Lot of traffic. And
yeah.
Otherwise, once I got, beyond... I don't know the names. Okay, Silverwood.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was sort of like smooth sailing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just getting out of Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. We have some.
You can tell we're outdoors. There's an airplane going overhead.
Oh, I thought it was a drone.
No. There's a pilot in there. Heading for the airport. Out for an early morning flight.
There you go.
Perfect. Must be magical up there.
Let's make Anne talk.
Okay.
Kate McAllister here is with us, and she is doing At the Hive. I don't have the dates or anything.
September 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Okay, and what is that going to be?
It is going to be a segment of Ann Landers' life, June 30th, 1975, and it is The Lady with All the Answers. So
this is a one-woman show.
A one-woman show.
Why that date, June 30th, 1975?
Because she's writing a column that has to go to print July 1st. And that's the impetus of the entire story, is about this article that she has to write, and she just keeps goofing off all night.
Are you going to give us a clue as to what the article is about?
Well,
I'm trying to think. 1975.
Let's just say, it's a personal issue. And forever, she had told her readers, divorce is not the answer. She was so anti-divorce that she said her dateline could be Vatican City. And so it is about how she's going to tell her 60 million readers that her wonderful marriage that she touted for 20 or 35 years is coming to an end. And she keeps avoiding it because she feels embarrassed that she's told everybody, don't divorce, do anything to keep it together.
And it's not coming to an end because of death.
No. No.
Just be sure. Just be sure about that.
Yeah. No.
Well, what fun. And so this is at The Hive.
At The Hive. Doors open at 6:30. Shows at 7.
And tickets online?
Yes. You can go to LPOREP.com. Or you can go to The Hive, and they'll be there on sale at The Hive.
And growing up, did you read Ann Landers?
I did.
How about you, Jack?
and Landers and Dear Abby. I think we were Dear Abby.
Yeah,
in the Twin
they were
cities.
Twins.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We probably had both columns. I think both columns were ran they? In some uh-huh. papers. Yeah.
I was just going to say, weren't they sisters? And yeah. you guys yeah. just said they're twins.
They're twins.
Duh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little early for me. Okay. And did they get along?
For the most part. And then her name is Epi Letterer.
Okay.
And her name is Esther Pauline, and her sister, Dear Abby, is Pauline Esther.
Hmm.
Ah.
So, yeah, okay. So she was Anne, and when she first took over, she wasn't the first Anne Landers, and so she took over for this woman, and so she had an overwhelming response and had all these letters, and so her dear sister Popo came to help for a few weeks, and the line is, you know the expression quick study? Mm-hmm. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and so then she starts Dear Abby, and then they kind of didn't talk for a while. They were Anne was upset.
Oh, you got better letters than I did.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It was very interesting. But one was in San Francisco, and Anne was in Chicago. So, yeah.
Different time zones. What were the dates of, you know, like when Anne Landers, do you happen to know that, when Anne Landers started and when she stopped doing her column?
She started her first column was October 16th, 1955, a day that will live in intimacy.
No divorce. Sorry. No yeah. divorce, everyone.
No.
Whoops, flash forward to
1975.
Okay, and then how much longer after 1975 did she continue to write?
I think for quite a while, at least another 10, maybe 15 years. I don't remember that. I've been so consumed with her life that mm-hmm, I mm-hmm. didn't think about her death. And she has one daughter, Margot, and Margot helped write the play that I'm going to do.
Did she ever do any of the columns, like help her mother with any of the columns?
No, but the last, or the column that she's writing this particular
yeah,
night,
yeah.
She runs it by Margot to say, is this okay? Because, you know, Margot's dad, Jules Letterer, he was Mr. Budget Rent-A-Car.
Oh,
he
really?
Made it into a worldwide corporation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know one of the lines is, what? You didn't know my husband was Mr. Budget Rent-A-Car? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And how long is the play?
It's about an hour each act, and then with, you know, time for intermission and...
Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably take a little longer intermission, maybe 20 minutes, because I'll need to drink water and some throat coat tea.
Oh, that's right. You're nonstop. Any yeah. singing?
No, I wish. Anne wasn't a singer. But she did wear bright red lipstick, and her hair was
yes.
a helmet.
Exactly. I've seen photographs of her.
Oh, I know. That's the hardest thing that I'm trying to figure out, is the hair.
No wig? I mean...
Oh, I have a wig, but it's like... So I asked Meg Manor, she's a friend of mine, I'm like, could you please make this look like a football helmet?
Exactly. impenetrable.
Yes,
mm-hmm. For sure. Any little bit of juicy details about Anne's life that you'd like to share?
It sounds like you've done your research,
oh,
more
yes.
than just the play.
Yeah. Her favorite dish was meatloaf. She put it in her recipe in a column. It was famous. And lemon meringue pie.
Ooh.
And a martini. She loved martinis.
Oh, my Anne didn't drink. Did yours, Jack? My Anne did not drink. I'm sorry. She could divorce, but not drink.
Not drink. Well, her life is so fascinating that people really didn't know about all the things that she did. So here's one, and it was true because I watched it. There was a TV talk show host called Irv Kupcinet.
Okay.
Everybody called him Cup. And his guest, the same time as Anne Landers, was Linda Lovelace.
Mm-hmm.
And so her daughter, Margot, she came over, and Anne said, oh, I'm excited because I'm going to go on the show with Cup and Linda Lovelace. And she said, Margot's color drained from her face, and she looked like a pale trout. And said, Mother, do you know what that movie is about? And Anne goes, well, she doesn't show her Hermans, does she?
Or Herman's.
Right. And her daughter says, Mother, everybody in the movie is naked.
Uh-huh.
And so she panics for a moment. How do I get out of this? And then she says, perhaps this is God giving me an opportunity to educate.
Uh-huh.
So what she does is in the very beginning, she says, if I may interrupt, there are some of you, I'm sure, who are ignorant about what the meaning of deep throat is. And then she goes on to explain exactly what it means. And she says, and I hear the guy with the headset drop his clipboard. And so I'm like, this cannot be true. And so I looked it up, and it was true. This interview with her,
Wow.
On this talk show. She was just an extremely fascinating person. She was the first individual to write about homosexuality because she got a letter from a young man who was 16 who said he was going to kill himself. And he couldn't tell his parents. And she said, you know, at that moment in time, I really didn't have feelings one way or the other. And she said, but this completely changed my mind. And of course, she wrote back to the young man. And And so she did some remarkable things. I think the most remarkable was that we didn't know about is that she hated the Vietnam War. Absolutely hated it.
And didn't any of her columns give a hint like a parent concerned about a child over or anything like that? I mean, didn't any? I'd be sort of curious because that, you know, the Vietnam War was really, you know, in the forefront through the 60s and into half of the 70s.
Yeah. She tried to convince Lyndon Johnson. She's like, you got to get us out. And he said, Epi, I don't know how. And she goes, you don't know how. Just stop it and get them the hell home. And then she talks about how we lost the bloom of our youth and 55,000 young men.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, I couldn't stand it, and I wanted to go to Vietnam. And so everybody tried to talk her out of it. She went to Vietnam and visited every single hospital and every single young man in those beds. And when she came home, she made 2,500 phone calls to their moms and dads and husbands and everything. And so she really, it really affected her. And then she talked about she could only say two good things about Richard Nixon. One is he did stop the war and bring him home. And two, he resigned.
In that order.
In that order. So there's just a lot of things that people don't know. And she was funny. She was really funny. So
I'm trying to think of how her humor came through in her columns.
Sarcasm, I would think.
Sarcasm, baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the she got 15,000 letters on how to hang the toilet paper, right?
There only need to be one.
I know.
And that's so, over the top.
She said her preference is the same as the other guy's, the guy who wrote it, Paper Crazy, is his relatives, which is down and back.
Okay.
Really?
And so, yeah, so it was hilarious. She goes, and what is interesting is how it really... Times don't change. So, again, this is 1975, and she said, with all the things dividing us, our country, like war and abortion and morality and ethics and nuclear proliferation, this is the most polarizing issue of the day?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, whoa, those are the same things we're kind of in the middle of right now.
Well, you know what the solution to it is?
What?
Sheet toilet paper.
It's single sheets.
Single sheets.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'm in a family, you know, where my husband wants it over and I want it under. Solution solved. Get sheet toilet paper.
You could do that.
You know.
Get a bidet.
Ooh.
You could do that.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Going continental.
Hello.
I get up every morning in the Bonner Bee. Is that Dear Abby?
Yes, I think
her daughter continued it, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Abigail Van Buren.
Yes.
And what I'm sort of interested in, like with Ann Landers or Dear Abby, you know, how we gravitate, you know, besides the obituaries, you know, the advice columns, what does it say about us, the readers? You know, do we want to find, oh, I thought I had it bad. Well, here's somebody in Iowa who is.
Right.
How does that psychology work?
Well, I think she was someone that the American public trusted. And she, you know, as she says in the beginning, I am not an expert on any subject, but I can get to the experts so you have their wisdom with your morning cornflakes. And she did. Her Rolodex, like she... There was a lady who said her neighbor's tree was dropping walnuts in her yard. What should she do?
Hmm.
And Ann says, well, I don't know the law, so I call up Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, and he tells me what to tell the lady she can do with her neighbor's nuts.
Uh-huh. I think if it whatever's on your side is,
so.
Yours.
Is yours.
You can
yeah.
even cut, you, if you want to, you can just
yes.
cut those limbs right off the tree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think the American public did trust her, and mm-hmm. she also says, you know, you write me because you have nowhere else to turn. You want somebody who will listen to your story and not tell you you're crazy or you're lying or yell at you. So I don't know, maybe that was a form of therapy for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but some of the letters were, like when she answered the letter to the young man who was going to kill himself, she said, and people are so, it's so disheartening, the letters that I get back. And so, you know, she reads about four or five statements that are from people who are extremely anti-homosexual. And you know, and so it's like she adds the truth, and she really tries to, she comes from a place of empathy, wanting to understand how others feel, you know, like going to the Vietnam War. And yeah, she just was an incredible human being, and I had no idea all these things about her.
What I'm thinking of is, have you read the novel Miss Lonely Hearts?
No.
By Nathaniel West.
No.
It was written, I think published in 1933, and he plays, he works for a newspaper, and he ends up doing the Miss Lonely Hearts column. And initially he thinks it's a joke and like, oh God, you know, and takes it, you know, on a humorous level. But
sure.
then he starts listening to what these people are asking, and yeah. he has an existential crisis, and he comes to believe he really is Miss Lonely Hearts solving, and it's quite good.
Well, I'm going to have to read it.
Yeah, Miss Lonely Heart. He's also famous for Day of the Locust, about the movie industry.
Okay,
you
yeah.
know, those would be the two works that Nathaniel. Yeah, but Miss Lonely Hearts, it's a fun read. It's not very long. If you're looking for something to wind down the summer with and to get yourself ready for, the title of it is?
The Lady with All the Answers.
The Lady with All the Answers. You know, get a copy. I think the public library has a copy of Miss Lonely Hearts by Nathaniel West.
Yeah.
And so does Ann Landers' attitude change from what she started with her columns and how she evolves as an advice person?
Oh, yes. Especially after the letter of the young man, she goes into a little bit of dialogue about how she's changed with the times, things that she thought she was against, and now she stands up for abortion rights and gay rights and, you know, all of these things.
And she soon said, divorce.
And divorce, oh. right. She was like, yes, yeah, so... She said the National Rifle Association, the anti-abortion people, and the tobacco and liquor lobbies just despise her. And she said,
"Oh, interesting.
I couldn't be more proud."
Was she always with the Chicago Tribune?
And
then it was syndicated elsewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Because her column after the first, you know, probably month, it took off like an Apollo rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And papers all over the country.
1955.
That's when it started.
I'm trying to remember back then. This is before.
You actually can.
This is pre-Jack. Pre-Jack. Pre-Kate?
By 3 years.
Okay. I remember it quite well. I'm trying to remember what 1955 was like. But do we have a song, and then we can come back and talk more about Ann Landers?
Sure. I have a couple songs for you here. You pick. Sly and the Family Stone have a song called Advice.
Ooh.
I'll let Kate/Ann do the selection.
The Jefferson Airplane have a song called Free Advice. Both of these kind
Trippy,
of 60s
man.
Songs.
Let's
with
do Advice by Sly.
Sly and the Family Stone with yeah. Advice from the album A Whole New Thing. This came out in 1967. And then we'll be back talking more about Ann Landers with Kate McAllister, the star of The Lady with All the Answers, coming up at The Hive on September 11th, 12th, and 13th. All right, here's Sly and the Family Stone.
Take my advice if you want a lover. I'm not going to be your brother. Are you afraid of what you might want to do? Or is reality hard for you?
just killing all your fun. Exhibition of what you don't know. Yeah.
Sly and the Family Stone there. Advice was the name of that song. Maybe we'll play the Jefferson Airplane in a little while with their song, Free Advice. Yes, maybe so. You're listening to The Morning Show live at the Bonner County Fair here this week. I'm Jack Peterson, Jim Healy. Back in a moment, I'm sure. Here he comes running across the field. And our guest is Kate McAllister talking about Ann Landers, The Lady with All the Answers, and you are in a, I guess, nonfiction of sorts play, a biographical play.
Yeah.
Is it a, who else is in the play, or is it a one-woman show?
It's a one-woman show.
That's what I thought.
So I can't blame anybody.
Yeah.
And you can blame Anne.
Oh, I can.
And with nobody else in the play, are you, you must not have rehearsals or anything like that. Do you have a director? Or who else is kind of involved getting this thing going?
So I did the show in 2012 or 2011, and I sold out nine shows.
Whoa.
And so this is really a fundraiser for LPO Rep, and I thought, you know, because I'll be 70 soon, so I thought I want to do this one more time just to see if I can do it. So rehearsal is every day, me reading lines. I go to bed at night, I read a little bit, and then I do the first act, and then the next night I'll do the second act. And yeah, the difficulty is the flow, is make sure that I don't skip one and go to the other. But I mean, I'll have dress rehearsal on Thursday, and I'm gonna go perform it in front of a couple friends. Dorothy Prophet, she's a friend of mine and a director, so I'm gonna go perform it in front of her. Deb McShane was the director the first time I did it, and I had always been a singer. And she said, "No, you're an actress, and I want you to do this play." I'm like, "No." And she then she grabbed me by the shoulders and said, "You are an actress, and you will do this show." I'm like, "Okay." Huh. Yeah. And so that's kind of, yeah. Before, I'd just been an extra in plays and, yeah. But
no, a background artist.
Right, correct.
Not an extra. When was the play first performed or written?
I believe it was 1990.
Okay.
It was performed for the first time.
And when did Anne pass?
I don't even remember.
She could be still alive.
No, I know that she's not still alive, but yeah. Yeah, but she was.
What are the challenges of, I can think of a couple, of being a one-person play as opposed to having other artists around you? Because everybody's watching you every moment.
Every moment. I think the difficulty is, again, you know, like when I'm in a play with Andrew and all the familiar people, if I miss something or they miss something, we pick it up, right? We cover each other. And so this is...
Nobody is covering.
Nobody else.
Nobody has your back.
No. And, you know, some is a relief because I read 20 of her letters.
Oh.
And then talk about the letters, real letters. Yeah.
Okay.
That came in. And
were they published too?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
They were all published.
Okay.
And she's also writing a book. She's also of her favorite letters. And so throughout the night, she's like, "Oh, not in the book, for the book, not in the book." And so, yeah, and it is a little frightening, but once I get up there.
Are you standing?
Yeah. Well, it's her office.
Okay.
And so
okay.
I'm at the typewriter quite a bit going, "Dear readers, in my 20 years as Ann Landers, this is the most difficult column I've ever tried to put together." And so, but she keeps avoiding it. Like, she'll go, "Dear readers." Well, and then that reminds me of, right? She keeps avoiding. And it's 11 o'clock at night.
Ooh.
And she's a night owl. She says, "Up all night, just like the old streetwalker, that's when I do my best work."
Ooh.
And in the
she
bathtub.
Added a little humorous side to her.
Oh, she, Yeah, she was pretty funny. She was pretty funny. But I'm usually scared to death until I hit the stage. And then my brain says, you've been working on this for months. You know it. And then I just go out and I pretend I'm Ann Landers.
Now, do you have any sort of like props, you know, when you're at the typewriter and you're looking down? Does it have the script there that you can follow a little bit? Or
no, I won't have. And Deb McShane taught me this. She said, look, you have letters all over your desk. And if you need it, all I need is the, okay, this section's about this, this is this. Yeah. And so I didn't do it when I first did it because I got it. Mm-hmm. But this time, being a little bit older, I will probably have the section so that I don't get off. So that, because, you know, everything she says is important. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's so fascinating. If you know, it's like an icon that you really didn't know much about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so solving the world's problems, and yeah, she's just, and silly things, you know, she said. She doesn't get letters about, she gets letters about big things, betrayals, infidelities, but it's the smallest things. The silliest things, like playing Tarzan, or the proper way to say February, or toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
or how to wash a chicken.
How to wash, what's funny is, so what we're doing now, I think it'll be on our social. It will be on our social media page. So we've asked a number of people to write me letters.
Ooh!
Right. Yeah. One is Mr. Terry Owens, and it is funny. Yeah. Yeah. And so we're gonna put
he's
that.
He's funny.
Out. Oh my gosh, he's funny. I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He. So his letter is really funny, and so you can look for those on. I'm answering most of them this weekend, and then we'll post them on the social media page, on the Facebook page, and everybody can, hear what I tell local people.
I'm just looking at Ann Landers' name, Epi
Letterer.
Now, did she change it for the column?
Yes. Well, she said she wasn't the first Ann Landers. That was a woman named Ruth Crawley. And when she calls up to ask, because she needs to keep busy. She's got to keep busy all the time.
Okay.
And so she calls up the paper and says, hey, I want to help sort Ann Landers' mail. And the guy says, well, she just died very unexpectedly, and we're looking for someone to replace her. And then she says, can you believe that luck? I mean, not hers. I'm sad she died. But
yeah,
that I should call. And so that's how it started. It just, she just sort of jumped in and decided she wanted to do it. And you know, she had no idea. It was just to keep her busy. And so she just started answering. Her maiden name was Friedman. Epi and Popo Friedman, the cutest little twins in town.
Hmm.
Epi, that's a strange first name, isn't it?
Well, it's her nickname for Esther.
Oh, really?
Yes. And Pauline is Dear Abby, but they call her Popo. So it was Epi and Popo.
How do they get Epi out of Esther? I can understand Popo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Okay, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, Esther Pauline EP. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yep,
it was crazy.
They were married to their husbands in a double wedding ceremony.
Oh really?
Yes. Oh yes.
On the same day. Yeah.
But it wasn't Anne's original fiancé.
Oh my.
So she says the double wedding was planned, two brides, two grooms, 22 attendants, three rabbis, conservative, reformed, and orthodox. And then her and Popo go down and buy bridal veils. And she says, who do you think was in the millinery department selling bridal veils? Jules. And she thought, oh my, I do believe in love at first sight. And he says, well, this is too bad because I meet the girl I want to marry and she's engaged to somebody else. And so then she says, Jules, not one to be daunted by small obstacles, asks me out on a date and I go and he proposes.
Huh.
And so, yeah, she said then the big double wedding goes on 3 months later as planned with Jules as my husband, as my groom.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, what happened to the other guy?
I have no idea. She never talks about him. She says, I broke my engagement. It's like, well, I know that's the question I had, too. It's like, I want to know that other guy. And
so,
then,
so Jules is the one she's going to be getting a divorce from.
Yes.
Mr. Budget Rent-A-Car.
Yeah, after because he fell in love with a woman younger than their daughter.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ouch. Yeah. And he wants to, you know, stay married and keep it an arrangement. And she's like, I will not.
yeah,
have an arrangement. This marriage is over.
Yeah.
But she still stayed very close to him. And oddly enough, she helped put his children with this younger woman through college. She paid for a lot of stuff because he kind of went downhill. And
Mr. Budget Rent-A-Car?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So she truly did care about him and didn't want him to be, you know, totally out and about and on the street. But, yeah, she was a very empathetic and kind woman. But Popo, Dear Abby, marries Mark Phillips, who is ConocoPhillips.
Huh.
So
whoa.
Anne says, you know, I married a man on the way up, and Popo married a man way up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Popo was extremely wealthy, and Anne and Mr. Budget Car, I mean, I think they had money and they gained wealth in their later years, but
huh.
Yeah, so it's just a really good show. I really like doing it. I appreciate doing it. It might be my last one-woman show, but time to pass it on to the next generation.
And let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
When, where, and how does one get tickets? One more time.
The show will be at the Hive because it's a more intimate setting.
Very much so.
Yes, and that's what I wanted. And it is September 11th, 12th, and 13th.
What
the 13th
day's the
is
week?
My birthday.
Ah,
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday is a matinee. And Friday and Saturday, the doors open at 6:30, and the show starts at 7.
Okay.
And so
the matinee is?
I believe it's 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. I just show up.
It'll be in the reader.
Yeah, it'll be in the reader, right. Yeah, and tickets are on sale now if you want to buy tickets.
At LPO Rep?
At LPOREP.com, okay. And as well as The Hive. You can buy tickets through
Wonderful.
The Hive. And we really, you know, we hope people will come out, because everyone now is struggling, but, you know, little theater groups are struggling as well. So we hope people come out and support it so we can keep doing great plays. We really want to do Sound of Music in the spring, but the royalties are $15,000.
Whoa.
Still?
Yes, still. $15,000. And so if there's any generous underwriters out there, we'll put your name on everything. We'll call you
yeah.
one of the producers. But we would, because what we like to do is add more of the community, not necessarily do things like this with just one person, because the more we can involve, it makes our theater community bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we know times are tough because we had to cancel our theater camp this summer because we just couldn't get anybody to.
Yeah.
We had about 7.
To underwrite it.
Yeah, which is sad. So if there's any generous human beings, doesn't even have to be one, that would like to help underwrite Sound of Music, that would be great.
Any billionaires out there?
Any billionaires?
It seems like billionaires are low-hanging fruit everywhere.
That's right. Yeah.
In our country.
And it's a tax write-off, so come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, what more
hey,
does
go.
One want?
Are you on the board? Are you, or how?
LPO Rep?
Yeah, the LPO Rep, yeah.
I'm one of the founders. Keeley,
yeah.
Andrew, and I are the founders of it. And
mm-hmm.
I'm on the board. I'm vice chair, but, you know, one of these days I'll fade away because my whole goal in life is to train the younger people to take over
mm-hmm.
because I think that's where we're going to get more input. And, you know, I don't have a big enough ego to think that I have to be the star for the rest of my life.
But, ooh, baby, I'm thinking of, you know, you're the vice chair, the chair of vice.
Hello. Doesn't that fit me?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Should we play another song, or
yeah,
what do
we
you
should.
Think?
We and should do. Yeah, it was.
You want to go ahead?
Well, I was just going to comment that I think it is. Putting on a play takes talent to some extent.
Yeah.
That you
mm-hmm.
have to be. You have to have that kind of raw talent, that creative spark. But it takes a lot of skill. You have to learn how to do it, and having this consistent organization. That is, those skills are developing over time, over years. You know, if it goes away, if LPO Rep just stops existing, whoever puts on the next play, which there will be another play someday, but they'll be starting from scratch.
Right.
They won't have that base of knowledge, that base of here's how you turn on the lights in the theater, here's how you open the curtains, here's how you build a great set.
Well, and that's our next step.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows our strategic plan so we started an improv group. So we're trying to diversify and get different streams of revenue. And one is, hey, well, we need to start teaching these things so that we have a light person and we have a sound person. And so we're trying to work that out, too, so we can have workshops. Like Dave Nygren said that he would, we have to pay him, of course, which he deserves, that he would come in and give a tech workshop. And so the more, because not everybody wants to be on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather be behind the scenes and stage crew. And it does, it's a lot of logistics to deal with. And, you know, but again, to see the youth get involved in theater, it's just wonderful. I mean, when we did Midsummer Night's Dream, those teenagers were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They were incredible. And so it's like, I don't want it to go away. Now, there is another theater company in town, mm-hmm. but they really stick to a certain genre of plays that they do, whereas mm-hmm. we're open to anything.
Yeah.
We're open to, you know, let's do some. And right now, we're doing a show in October called Beau Stratagem.
That's right.
And it's really Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, mm-hmm. only in the 17th century.
Mm.
And it's pretty funny, but to be very honest with you, we did it because it's free. The royalties are free.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're at, because we're trying to save our money to see how we can do The Sound of Music, you know, and the other big things that we'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard rumors of Treasure Island next fall, which would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but just like everything else, we have to have money. But we are a 501c3, so mm-hmm. again, it is tax deductible.
Right, right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, so many people love the arts here. It's like, well, spread the love to live performance.
I have a question about copyright and that sort of thing. You mm-hmm. said Dirty Rotten Scandal doesn't have a copyright fee. When will it run out on, like, Sound of Music? I mean, is that going to be?
It may never.
Really?
As long
it's
as
into
it's,
perpetuity?
As long as it's popular, as long as it depends on, and I don't know what group owns it, if it's the dramatists or Concordia, I'm not sure, but as long as they can make money out of it. I mean, it may be 100 years. I don't know. Because, you know, all of Shakespeare's stuff is free. It's public
right,
domain
right.
now. And
well, I think in the it's music
industry, it's got to be 95 years or something. Like
in the music industry, isn't it about 50 years? That's why you're
maybe,
getting
yeah.
the re-release of a lot of stuff from the 60s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on CDs and vinyl, because I don't know the. That's why I was asking you.
Right.
Like, I mean, my God, to have, you know, Sound of Music in the year 2027 to be that much money. I mean,
I know.
Certainly it has made a ton of money already.
Oh, it has. Well, and it's the scores. I mean, when you get the scores, they're 3 mm-hmm. inches thick. And
oh, yeah, that's right. It's just not a play.
No.
It's
yeah.
a musical.
Right, so we have to have a music director.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it. Got
it's
so,
it's
okay.
something like, I've looked into it, but I forget a little bit now, but I think it's 95 years after the death of the author. So
oh,
you
wow.
got Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah.
Oh.
But then also, if there's other people involved, I mean, if it's not just Rodgers and Hammerstein on the, you know, on the credits, if there's some other person mm-hmm. in, and mm-hmm. that may be, yeah, I don't know. It's after that last person, after the youngest person dies, basically,
right.
I think. So it can be a while.
Right. Well,
yeah.
And in the, when you get the script and you get the permission to play it,
mm-hmm.
they have all kinds of restrictions, like
yeah.
you have to put the author's name on the poster and, you know, and so different things like that, but
mm-hmm.
so none of them are too difficult, but
yeah.
if you forget, they find out, thank you Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and they call you and say, you're in violation.
Hello?
Yeah.
yeah, right. So you have to redo all the posters.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here with Kate McAllister, and she will be at the Hive the 11th, 12th, and 13th for performances of
The Lady with All the Answers.
About mm-hmm. Ann Landers, and 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday nights. Doors open at 6:30, and we mm-hmm. think the matinee is at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Probably
yeah.
doors open a half hour before that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say to a one-person play, break a leg.
Right. You know, I'm the
because,
only one.
You know, rather than somebody in the chorus, you know, hey, break a leg, you know, that's okay, the show goes on.
Right, yeah.
So what do we say to you?
Good luck.
Best
sure.
wishes,
best
fare
wishes,
thee well,
yeah.
and
yeah.
but in everything. Well, do you still have that Jefferson Airplane
sure.
queued up? Before we we go too far, I would be remiss. I did forget at the beginning of the hour to do the weather report for Washington, D.C., like I usually do. Mm-hmm. And this time, it's not from my sister. She's at a quilting camp. But from my brother-in-law. And he says that weather in Arlington, partly cloudy all day, currently 78, high of 89, feels like 91. High of 89 feels like 91.
Okay.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Chance of rain, 35%. Yeah, right. We've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what? Jefferson Airplane. Where does that come from? Do you know where that comes from? What album?
The album, well, it's called Free Advice, and it's from a compilation album, I think, called, or no, is Loves You, Jefferson Airplane Loves You. Is that an album? One of their studio albums? Or
Love
is that
Zero?
Loves You.
Love is
the Jefferson. No, Jefferson Airplane Loves You. Get it? I think it's a compilation.
Jefferson Airplane Loves is You. Love is You.
I think it's
doesn't ring a bell with me, but there's a lot I don't know, Jack.
And I think
embarrass me.
I think it was performed. If I read this correctly, it was performed originally, or it's written by the Airplane and then performed by the Great Society. Which is one of their offshoots.
I think that was before Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, boy.
I think that was the one before Jefferson. We can check while the song is playing.
Okay, we'll see what we can find out. But according to what we have here in the system, this is a song by Jefferson Airplane called Free Advice. And we're talking a little bit more after this song. It was the Jefferson Airplane, but actually, I think that was recorded by the Great Society. That was the Great Society version. Jim, you found out some stuff about
That's Gracie Slick's band before Jefferson Airplane, if I'm not mistaken. And she did not come on to the Jefferson Airplane until their second album. The female vocals on the first album was Signe Anderson.
Okay.
And then once Gracie Slick got on... They hit the charts big time. Somebody to Love and White Rabbit and just all sorts of Volunteers. Mm-hmm. and just great music from the San Francisco scene in the mid to late 60s.
Woo-hoo.
I remember that. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, Jack, no. But sorry. Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in high school in the early 70s. Yeah.
Well, I was in grad school.
Well, you know, you're a little bit older than mm-hmm. I am.
A little bit, sweetheart.
Well, Kate McAllister is the lady with all the answers, portraying Ann Landers in the one-woman show at The Hive, September 11th, 12th, and 13th. We're live at the county fair right now.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a fair-goer as a kid? Did you ever enter anything in a county fair or state fair or anything?
Actually, I did. I entered a cross stitch.
Uh-huh.
That I did.
Ooh.
I think I was about probably 15, and I won a blue ribbon.
Good job.
Yeah.
Do you still have the sampler?
I don't know if I do or not. I moved so many times that it's not up on the wall, but I do have pieces on the wall.
Cool.
Yeah. Now I do, like, it's tapestry work with beading, so it takes me a while to create an entire,
Have you considered entering it here in the Bonner County Fair, of your pieces?
I've thought of that. And in fact, I thought about it this morning or yesterday when I was looking through Facebook and all this stuff. And I'm like, I should bring in one of my tapestries.
Mm-hmm. I think so. There's some cool stuff in there. And I bet I bet there's a spot for you.
Yeah. And the fair is always great. I'll have to do that. I just have to remember in time.
Right.
Right?
Yep. you got to do that.
What's the other option? Yeah. Remember in time. Huh. Remember outside of time? I'm getting cerebral. Yes,
you
Jack, you were
going to. Clever.
I was going to ask your fair experience as a lad. Did you ever enter anything in the fair? Did you go to the fair?
No, we didn't go to the fair. I grew up in northern Indiana. There was the St. Joe County Fair, but never went to it. My family. When I lived in Billings, Montana, I ran parking for the Montana State Fair. And I just loved going through the animal barns before
I know.
It's. And I'm in love with goats.
You are.
Oh, God. I could run away with a goat. They are so wonderful.
I know. And so frisky.
If you're not careful, they'll nibble your cuff and
that's
where they'll chew the button off and everything like that. But
mow your lawn.
Amen on that. The fair is like otherworldly. You know, it's people coming together who get excited over rabbits and dahlias and chickens and. What
it's
fun.
The simplicity of life, and that's what we're missing.
It's basic.
Yeah.
It's basic.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't go to the fair, but I'm a supporter of the fair in the abstract. How's that?
Oh, man. Yeah.
What does that mean?
That is very
cerebral.
Ponderous. Yeah.
Well, are you glad to be here and have the excuse to come out? And
I'm coming out tomorrow with Velma Queen of Fun and the two of us.
That's
anybody who walks by and looks at us. Get your butt over here and sit down and let's talk fair.
Yeah.
Let's have fair talk.
Let's have fair talk.
Fair talk.
I like that.
Let's see, coming up later today at noon, well, of course, we'll be broadcasting all day, but it'll be from the studio, just Otto's Eclectic Mix. But at noon, Russ Tomlin's going to be here at the county fair.
I made you a mixtape.
He did. And, he'll play some fair tunes and probably do the same thing you're going to do tomorrow. Try and wrangle some people in here. See
you
if we
bet.
Can get some staff.
Nobody can resist Velma and Jim.
She won't let him.
absolutely.
The aforementioned Terry Nobody, Terry Owens,
who?
He's going to be here tonight at 5. He's doing the 5 to 6 shift. You and Velma tomorrow at noon. And,
that's right. Are we going to have to pay $7?
Probably.
I can get you a parking pass. You're,
no,
you're,
no,
you're fair,
no, no.
You're fair staff. You don't. I don't think you need.
Why?
To.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Julie Perchinski is at 5 o'clock, and I think she's trying to wrangle another DJ to join.
I bet
that
you
too,
she has fair.
Tomorrow.
You know, growing up in Nebraska.
Yeah.
I bet you she next to Nebraska football games going to the fair has to be the second most enthusiastic thing to do in that state.
Yeah.
So.
what She's else can that. You do in Nebraska?
I lived you there for 8 years.
Oh, one. You did? That's right.
Okay. I can tell you all about life in Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
You know, things just start blowing in Colorado and sweep right across the state into uh-huh. Iowa. Just
oh, my gosh.
Whoosh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, Nebraska, the shoulder seasons can't be beat.
Hmm.
Really?
Well. Yeah. The summers, high humidity, and you know, yeah. the temperatures will get up to like 90, 92,
right.
and the humidity will be up there at about 88, and this is it in the evening, you know, and just awful. But yeah, the winters, it doesn't take much snow, you know, with the winds and everything, about half inch of snow, you've got blizzard conditions, mm-hmm. ground blizzards. But Nebraska's great state, but boy, there's springs and falls.
Are beautiful.
The, oh, absolutely. Go down to Nebraska City in the fall and get apples.
Mm, nice.
So good. Oh, I want to go back.
Now we found something to love about Nebraska.
Okay.
Well, as the song goes, there is no place like Nebraska, good old Nebraska U, where the girls are the fairest and the guys are the squarest of any old you knew.
Look at
okay.
you.
Okay.
My gosh, it came back.
You are such a font of information.
Oh,
I can't even
yeah,
believe.
Right. And flush that down now.
Okay. let's see. Well, we have to end at 9 o'clock sharp, because that's when Bird Note takes over back at the studio. We can't do our usual thing where we gab until 9:10 and push it
well,
back.
Well, Shakespeare in the Parks mm-hmm. tonight. I think Ooh, it's
yeah.
Merchant of Venice.
Yeah.
5 o'clock.
Yes.
Where's that?
Memorial Park.
Memorial okay. Park. And then on Sunday, I think it's Sunday or Saturday, Much Ado About Nothing. Much
yeah,
Ado About Nothing.
Yeah. And I think some of the LPO rep improv team might be doing some fun Shakespearean stuff. And if you've never seen them, they're called Mediocre at Best.
Mm-hmm.
And they are selling out shows. They're pretty funny. They're really funny.
Yeah.
With Terry Nobody.
With Terry Nobody.
Uh-huh. And I think Hannah Combs.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, so talented. Who knew?
Oh.
I love her.
We do at KRFY. We marvel at her shoes.
Oh.
She's got the best shoes in the whole world.
I'll have to stop looking at her face and look at her shoes.
yeah. That, well, there you go. We mentioned Shakespeare in the Park. That's this weekend.
Two movies at the Panada on Friday night, Dazed and Confused at 7 o'clock on Friday, and on Saturday, The Great Outdoors at 7 o'clock. Doors open, I think, 1 hour before.
Yeah. So okay. Dazed and Confused, my children are convinced that I'm the redhead in the movie, and their dad is the Matthew McConaughey who drives the fast car.
Sure.
Cool. So things going on at the Panada.
Yeah. I might go see Dazed and Confused.
It's
That's
good.
A fun movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're off. Time for
Thank
Bird
you,
Note.
Thank you, Kate.
You're welcome.
Russ
good
Tomlin
to have you
back
with
at
us.
Noon here at the County Fair. Thanks for listening.